All right, this morning our scripture is from Ephesians chapter 5. Brother Dave's going to read the scripture to you this morning. It's the first 10 verses. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's on page 1346. So if you'll find that and follow along. Come on up, Brother Dave.
Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolishness talking, nor coarse gesturing, which is not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon their sons and of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
All right, let's thank God for his word and ask him for understanding. Father, as always, we are grateful to you that you have spoken to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would open up our ears and our hearts so that we can hear the things that your spirit has for us today. And we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So I want to frame our conversation today in terms of what's acceptable to the Lord, as that last verse puts it. I think Ephesians 5:10 is a verse worth keeping in your pocket. What do I mean by acceptable? I mean it in the sense that that the scriptures used when they, thinking of the Old Testament scriptures first, in the sense that the Old Testament scriptures used when they spoke of bringing sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. You may recall, some of you from our studies in Exodus and Leviticus years ago, that sacrifices that are brought, brought by the Israelites to the tabernacle first and then later the temple, actually in two categories, there's offerings and sacrifices, right? Sacrifice, you might bring an animal for a sin sacrifice to make atonement for yourself, or you could bring, a peace offering, a thank offering, a fellowship offering, something like, just as a celebration or as a gift to God, or if you have completed a vow or there's a holy day, regardless of the reason for you bringing this either sacrifice or offering, you had to present an animal that was without blot or blemish. Okay, you're forbidden from bringing animals that are diseased or injured or had a birth defect and that sort of thing. It's just animal that you'd rather just get rid of anyway. Okay, that kind of an offering was not acceptable to the Lord, right? It's not acceptable. There was a high priest, right? He is anointed, right? Specially consecrated by God. He's set apart to serve the Lord and to bring those offerings on the behalf of the people. And you remember he was specially dressed in these fine consecrated garments. And one of the things he has on the front of his turban is a little gold plate inscribed with the words, "Holiness to the Lord." And it says in Exodus, where the Lord is describing to Moses how to, dress the high priest, it says this plate, it says, "It shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel consecrate with regard to their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead so that their gifts may be accepted before the Lord," right? Acceptable. He's going to make their offerings acceptable. And as far as the offerings themselves, The scripture says this, whatever has a defect you shall not offer, it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. And whoever offers a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord to fulfill a vow or a freewill offering from his cattle or sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Okay? So, of course, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Holy Spirit caused the people of God to understand that acceptability to the Lord has to go beyond just the animal that a person might bring as a sacrifice or as an offering, right? It's meant to apply to the person as well, right? God wants holy people, not just spotless animals being brought to his altar, okay? So King David wrote in that famous psalm, which we read this morning, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Okay, the offerings of my lips and the offerings out of my heart. That's the sort of thing that Paul is getting at here for the Christians reading this letter, right? The inner places of the man, right? The thoughts and the intents of the heart, the very words that come out of my mouth, may those things be acceptable, okay, which is to say, free from every blot and blemish, right? The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, okay? Is it the kind of sacrifice that the Lord wants, a lamb or a calf or a kid of the goats, when the words of the mouth and the meditations of the heart are foolishness, coarseness, corruption, stupid talk, unclean and filthy things, gross and immoral things, okay? Is the Father pleased with the sacrifices? Does he tolerate those sorts of things? Does he overlook that sort of coarseness and filthiness that's in the heart and coming out of the mouth, okay? I think if we give these verses in Ephesians a fair shake, we will realize that they leave no room for those sorts of things in the Christian life. Okay, I want to look first, though, of course, at the perfect life, and that's the life of the Lord Jesus. So verse 2 talks about the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 5:2 says, "Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Okay? There was one perfect man who ever lived, and that's the Son of God. Okay? And that's what the voice from heaven affirmed both on the day when Christ was baptized and on the day that he was transfigured on top of the mountain in the presence of Peter, James, and John. The voice said, "This is my Son, my beloved one. In him I am well pleased." Right? I'm well pleased. So verse 1 of our passage today says, "Be imitators of God as dearly loved children." Well, here's Jesus. He's the firstborn. Okay, he's God's dearly loved son. He didn't just imitate God. He is God in a human form. His entire life is a pleasing, perfect offering to God. Right? It says a fragrant aroma to God. Okay, that phrase, a sweet-smelling aroma, that comes out of the Old Testament law, where God is talking to, you know, prescribing the burnt offerings that, you know, Israel is going to offer to him on the altar. Okay, it's a burnt offering to the Lord, a sweet-smelling savor, right, a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Okay, the rendering of those burnt offerings indicates fellowship between the Lord and his people, right? The people bring their worship, and God comes near to them to bless them, and that they're acceptable and satisfying and pleasing to him. Okay, for the Lord Jesus, he said, "My food, right, my delight, what I thrive on, is to do the will of him who sent me." Okay, "I delight to do your will." Right? The prophecy in the Psalms says that about him. "I delight to do your will." Jesus said, "He who sent me is with me because I always do those things that please him." Okay, that's John 8:29. It's a good verse to memorize, right? I always do those things that please him. Okay, a perfect life, perfectly obedient, perfectly honoring to his Father without sin. About Jesus, it can be said, the words of his mouth, the meditations of his heart, perfect, right? Holy, harmless, and undefiled. The two great commandments, perfect love for God, perfect love for others. Okay, so 5:2 says he walked in love. Okay, in fact, his giving himself on the cross for our sin, that's the ultimate act of love, right? It's that selfless surrendering of his life for someone else, right? For the benefit of others, right? It wasn't for his benefit, it was for the benefit of others. John tells us that that's the defining act of what love is. Okay, so 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, so we also ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Okay, Paul says, walk in love as Christ, right? Very, very important. Do you want to know how you ought to live your life in regard to God, how you ought to live your life in regard to other people, towards your brothers? Okay, as Christ, right? Those are the key words, right? You don't have to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You know what he did. He laid down his life, right? He gave himself. He offered himself. The Bible says he was both the offering and the offerer, right? He sacrificed himself without blot or blemish, right? A perfect, a sweet savor, an aroma, right? Sacrifice to God, not just for our sins, but of course, the Bible says the sins of the entire world, pleasing and acceptable to God. It's because we have this perfect, precious Lamb of God who gave himself for us, that's why we now have fellowship with God. Okay, he was acceptable, so through him we are have been accepted. All right, so then you have, unfortunately, in the word in verse 3, you have the word but, right? You have this now contrast drawn. Christ offered himself an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet aroma to the Lord, but we're warned against certain things that are, if you please, a stench to God. Okay, some things are obnoxious and repellent to him, so I just want you to see what the things are there in 5:3 and following. Okay, there's a contrast. Some things are not a sweet aroma to the Lord, going up and, you know, they're like smoke in his nostrils, right? That says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let them not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things God's wrath comes upon the sons of disobedience, so do not be partakers with them, right? Do not do as others do. The words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, right? How often the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart, dear friends, are not acceptable to the Lord, right? They're unpleasing in his sight, okay? What sorts of things do we participate in? Okay, it says, don't be participants with them. Okay, what sorts of things do we participate in that are incompatible with our standing as saints? Saints is who we are, right? He's made us saints. We're holy ones. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ to be set apart, to be consecrated to the Lord. That's who we are, and that's who we have to live like, okay? And I'm afraid that as we live and swim in this culture, we're much too lenient with ourselves as to what we permit ourselves to enjoy and participate in, right? The desires for things, the desires of the body, the kind of entertainment we consume. I think we're given a pretty good reprimand here. Do you agree? But we're shown a sharp contrast between the lifestyle of the world and the kind of lifestyle that is, he says it twice at least, fitting for saints. Right? What's fitting for saints? Well, certainly not fornication. All right, now the world is filled to the brim with it. Right? People take license to do whatever they feel like doing when it comes to sexuality. Right? And not just the physical act itself, but talking about it, joking about it, writing pop music about it, writing novels and films about it, just basically thinking about it all the time. I would like to know how many of the top 100 current pop songs have something to do with sexual immorality, talking about it in a favorable way. I bet it's more than 80 of the top 100. I would not be surprised at all. All the time, soap operas to sitcoms to commercials, it's just a complete flood in the world. Okay, but a person who has been awakened by the way, awakened to the way of God, has received now an upward call, right? Have we received a call to live like Christ? Right? A person who's received that upward call has to now draw a sharp line and say, I am a saint. Right? I am not this way any longer. I'm consecrated to God. Right? He says, let it not even be named among you, which is to say, it's not a fit topic for family TV time. Right, it's not the topic for like light conversation and casual joking and wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, it's these sorts of things cannot occupy my time because of who I am now. I'm a saint, okay, and I can't take my delight in. I can't be pleased by these things anymore. Why do I still have to find them acceptable and pleasing to myself? Okay, he says, find out what's acceptable to the Lord. To the Lord. What's a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord? And what's a stench? The next thing he says, uncleanness and filthiness. Okay, things that are gross, scandalous, shocking, obscene or morbid or sordid, right? The kinds of stuff that you see on the covers of tabloids. You know, some celebrity's drug overdose, somebody's adulterous affair, somebody's fall from grace, pictures from the bloody crime scene, sorts of things that paparazzi are chasing after because they know that sleaze sells and freakishness sells, right? And it's this sort of sordid desire of people to see other people's dirty laundry and, you know, get the inside scoop. And, you know, why do blood and gore sell at the box office? Okay, why is there so many of these police crime dramas on TV? And what is it about murder and rape and child abuse and violence and everything and that draws an audience? Okay, Hollywood knows it will draw an audience or they wouldn't make it. Okay, and they know that you have to push the limits to attract an audience. Well, Christians, let them attract somebody else. Okay, it's not fitting for saints. You can't take a delight in these sorts of things. Okay, we've been saved out of a way of life and into a new way of life. It's like being saved out of Egypt, right? I've called you out of Egypt to be my holy people. So you can't turn around and say, I wish we were in Egypt. You know, I sure enjoyed it back there with all of the things you could do. But you were slaves, right? You were in a land of false gods, a land of uncleanness, a land of filthiness. Okay, these things are a stench to the Lord. When you were there, you cried out to the Lord for mercy, right? Peter says, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. You've been chosen to proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have. Okay? He says you're a holy priesthood consecrated to offer up spiritual sacrifices, right? Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, right? The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, may these be acceptable in your sight. find out what is acceptable to the Lord, verse 10. He throws into the list covetousness. That's verse 3. A little bit remarkable, maybe, that covetousness is in such company, right, with filthiness and fornication. Well, maybe it's not so remarkable. Covetousness is one of those sins that I think we excuse ourselves for because they're not like the A-list sins, right? But it is, right? That's what God thinks. I mean, fornication, well, it's so obvious, isn't it, that this is wrong and God disapproves? But, you know, with covetousness, you know, it barely crosses our mind that it's even a sin. But it's one of the ten, isn't it? Right? Covetousness stands in the same company as thou shalt not kill and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, in fact, it's commandment number 10 that brings you around again to the top, right? Because thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, his wife, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, anything that belongs to your neighbor. Why not? Well, because it makes that thing a god to you, right? And you shall have no other gods. Right, it's a love of things. It's a rejection of God. It's the opposite of contentment. That's why gratitude here is the antidote. Okay? It's the opposite of satisfaction and gratitude. A refusal to trust God to provide enough for me and for him to make up his mind what it is that that I should have. Right? Covetousness is unsatisfied. I must have. I need that thing. I need some more. All right, so verse 5 says it's idolatry. And Christ said you can't serve two masters because they'll be in competition with each other. Right, you love one and hate the other. So, of course, again, we live in a world of sales, right? Advertising depends on your sense of covetousness to succeed, right? This is how people make a living, by appealing to your sense of covetousness, right? I must have something more. What I have now is not enough. I need the new and improved, right? The words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart. Okay, Christians have to keep their hearts free of idols. And that means free from the love of money, free from the love of things, free from covetousness. Okay, and unfortunately, there's a whole misguided realm of Christianity that thrives on covetousness. Isn't the prosperity gospel covetousness? Isn't that idolatry? Okay, name it and claim it. Isn't that idolatry? Okay, there was a song by Janis Joplin back in the 60s, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" Right, my friends all have Porsches, I must make amends. Right, you remember that? I don't know if you ever remember that. Okay, it's idolatry. He includes then foolish talking and coarse joking. Okay, so again, every time you open your mouth, you have to say to yourself, is this a suitable way for a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to speak? Is it an appropriate subject? Is it true? Is it useful? Is it clean? You notice, and I've said this a few times lately, you've noticed that with some people, everything's got to be a joke. Okay, a person is a smarty pants. The whole world is a subject for him to ridicule, to denigrate, to sneer at how absurd it all is, which is really saying, I'm superior to you. I'm superior to all this. I judge you to be worth my scorn, worth, you know, something for me to laugh at. Okay, I'm amused by all your shortcomings. And this is comedy these days. Everything is sarcasm. Okay, well, it's not fitting for saints. It's not fitting. Foolish talk includes gossip, includes bragging. It includes a lot of the sort of just pointless running of the mouth and minding other people's business that consumes a lot of our time. You know, dad says to his daughter, you've been on the phone now for 2 hours. What are you talking about? Boys, you know, the beach. You know, what do the boys talk about? They're making fun of other kids at school. They're telling jokes about their teachers. They're complaining about how stupid everything is and stupid people, and they're trying to outdo one. It's just senseless talk, right? Not fitting for saints, okay? So in all of this, you know, the things here, Paul's just saying, Christians, that there's certain things it's time to say goodbye to, right? Certain things that we have excused ourselves for long enough that we have to now deem as not fitting because of who we are, right? We're bound for the promised land, We've been brought out of Egypt, right? We have an inheritance to look toward. He says, once you were darkness, now you're not, right? You're supposed to be walking as children of light, right? Walk as children of light, verse 8. Walking in love, righteousness, true holiness, right? As Christ, as Jesus Christ. So there's these habits of the heart and of the tongue and of the eyes and of the ears that it's time to break, right? It's just set them aside, put them behind, right? Lay them down as rubbish. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, may they be acceptable, right? A sweet-smelling savor. I'm offering these things to the Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. I'm offering them to the Lord, okay? So then he gives us a warning, and this needs to be paid close attention. Verse 5, the laughing, the mockery, the indulging in uncleanness, someday that is going to come to a bitter end when you find yourself shut out of the kingdom of Christ and of God, okay? In Galatians, Paul says, don't be deceived. God is not going to be mocked. Okay, so here he says, this you know. You know this already. No fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Don't put God to the test. Okay, you love what's good and what's pure. You shun what's evil and unclean, no matter how much the rest of the world loves it. And that's the point of verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, right? The world tells you one thing. God tells you another thing. Who are you going to believe? It's just a little harmless fun. Everybody's doing it. Oh, this is a 5-star show. You absolutely have to watch this. It's just a little white lie. It's just a little harmless television, right? This is a classic. They tell you it's okay to look as long as you don't touch. We were just flirting. Those sorts of things, all right? Do those excuses, do those empty words overcome the word of God, right? Do they excuse you spending time with nudity and foul language and sin? He's the funniest man. This is the funniest show you'll ever watch. He's the best comedian of our times. Does that excuse the dirty subject matter? Okay, what is acceptable to the Lord? What is acceptable, right? You can't serve two masters, one thing or the other, right? There are things that the world is going to praise and applaud and recommend, and all your neighbors will say, this is the best thing, it's so much fun, you'll really enjoy it. Christians must not be partakers with. Okay, Paul says here in verse 6, because of such things, the wrath of God is coming. Right, this you know, he says it. It's going to come upon the sons of disobedience. Just turn back to chapter 2 for a second, beginning of chapter 2. In verse 1, okay, because he says about sons of disobedience, this is what we once were. He says, you once were dead in trespasses and sins. You used to walk in them according to the way of the world. According to who? The prince of the power of the air. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Right? And he says, we all conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. We fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind and were by nature children of wrath just as they still are. Right? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. So don't be among them. Right? You can't be partakers with them. You know the day is coming. We talk about it all the time. The day of the Lord is coming. You can't think for an instant that God is going to let his world, continue in this way forever with, you know, all this pollution and defilement and iniquity. He's going to purify the world and that by fire. Okay, so flee from the coming wrath. And that's a serious call. The day of the Lord cometh with wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy the sinners from within it. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for its sins. I will put an end to the pride of the arrogant and lay low the haughtiness of the mighty. He says, I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, who walk according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually to my face. There is smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. Shall I not avenge myself on a people such as this? Okay? The Holy Spirit says, with regard to evil, be children. Okay? Be innocent. Be ignorant of such things. There's some stuff we just shouldn't know about. We shouldn't talk about. It's indecent. It's not fitting for saints. Withdraw. Forget about it. Leave it in the trash heap. Okay? Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Because once you were darkness, now you're children of light. Walk as children of light, finding out what is acceptable. Right, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, may they be acceptable in your sight. A holy life, without blot, without blemish, the offering of a sweet-smelling savor to God. All right, let it be so from our mouth to God's ears. Let it be so. Father, thank you, as always, for your word. We pray, Father, that you would form Christ in us. We offer ourselves to you now, Lord, to be shaped by your Spirit, to be submissive to your will, to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked in love and laid down his life for us so that we could be holy. So make us holy, Father. That's our prayer in Jesus Christ. Amen.